Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Lighthouse. We are so glad you are here today. And more importantly, I'm so glad that God is here today. Amen. Because he can make the difference. So we're so excited. Many of you know that yesterday we had our district for the state of Ohio Talent Expo in Zanesville, Ohio. And our kids did a great job. I just want to recognize I know some of them are in the room right now. So kids, as I say your name, if you will stand up right where you're at, and if we can just wait till the end, we will give them one round of applause for everybody because they all did such a great job. So I'm waiting to make sure all these kids' eyes are on me and they're paying attention. That's not an easy task. All right, I see some eyeballs. All right, first of all, and like I said, just let's wait and we'll clap at the end. But Emma Turner, if she can stand up, she did a short sermon yesterday. Got first place. Liza by Anki, if she can stand up. These are all vocal solos. So Liza did a vocal solo. I'm not sure if she's here yet. Berkeley and Paisley Ludwig, if they can both stand up if they're here. They tied for second place in vocal solo. Dream, go ahead and stand up. Emma Turner also did a vocal solo. Stay standing. If I call your name, stay standing. All right, Peyton Malone, stand up, did a vocal solo, got third place. Linnea Barnes, stand up, first place, vocal solo. And Lucas Malone, stand up, second place, vocal solo. We're not done. We had vocal ensemble, Ava, Berkeley, Dream, Liza, and Paisley. They did a song all together, did a great job. Paisley and Lucas did a song together. They got first place. AJ Carter, Christian, Lucas, all of you can stand up. They got second place for doing a song together. In teen category, Peyton and Emma did a song together, got second place. Daniel and Linnea, if they can stand up, did a song together, got first place. Our worship team did a song, and they got first place. In art, we had Grace Hafes, if she's here, stand up. And then we had a human video, so anyone who is in the human video, stand up as well. And if we can give everyone a hand, they did such a great job. Thank you. You guys can sit down. I'm noticing a lot of them aren't here today, so we must have wore them out. It was all the way in Zanesville, so it was quite a drive, but it was a beautiful day. We did post a lot of the videos on, and I think, Leah, did you take videos? Did you post those anywhere? The teens are posted. There's some other videos posted on Facebook, so you can go check those out. They did a great, great job. I'm so excited to see kids using their gifts and talents for the Lord. Because how many know the world would love to have those gifts and talents, but they're so much better for God. So thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, a few announcements. Today we do have our nursing home ministry. That is at 1:30, and that is at the Skilled Nursing and Rehab. At $199, you can just show up. The more, the merrier. So we'd love to have you. And that is a great ministry for kids. So if you want to bring your kids, they can just shake hands, hug people. I've seen some kids get a little ornery there, like crawling under tables, and the older people are just looking at them smiling. So that's a great one for kids to come and minister as well. We want you to save the date, April 5th. We are doing another family movie night. Raise your hand if you came to that first one. We had a great time at that family movie night, so we'll have snacks again and drinks, so make sure you save the date. Bring someone with you April 5th, it's a Friday, and invite someone, and we're going to watch the movie Risen. I've not seen it yet, so I'm very excited, and it goes right along with the Easter theme, so it'll be a great time together. And then if you will notice on the back door, we have a flyer that we are advertising for a group called CASA. That is court-appointed special advocates, and they're looking for volunteers. How many of you know people need Christians to volunteer? Because again, the world is volunteering, and they're spreading their gospel. We need Christians to be in appointed places to be able to minister the gospel. So this is an organization where when children are involved with children's services, they will sometimes appoint an outside person, a volunteer, to go in and work with the family, to work with the child, and then you give your recommendation on what is best for this child. So it's a really good program, and they train you so you don't have to know anything going into it. Except if you know Jesus Christ, you know all you need to know, right? So it's a great opportunity. There's more information at the door. If you're interested, check it out. They have a training coming up April 16th. All right, and our last announcement is next Sunday is Easter already. So we're very excited. We will have our sunrise service at 7 a.m. We will be taking communion at that sunrise service. And then we will have our worship service at 10 a.m. You're welcome to come to both of those. And all week next week, we are doing different events each and every day. And we have a video for you to check that out. And sign-ups are at the back table. If you want to, go right now and sign up so you don't forget. All right? While the video is playing, feel free to walk back there and go ahead and sign your name so you know what you need to do. And go ahead and show that video. And after that, Brother Jesse will be coming with our call to worship.
And we are here to invite you to what we are calling the Holy Week. Now, this is going to be a series of events that's going to lead into Resurrection Sunday. We are really excited about this. Now, to kick it off, we are going to be doing a corporate fast. We will have sign-up sheets in the back. You can do a 6-hour, 12-hour, 24-hour, whatever it is that you feel the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. So please join together with us as we fast.
Well, hi there, family of God. My name is Tammy, and I'm a part of the prayer team here at the Lighthouse. And I want to invite you to one more hour in prayer and one more hour with Him. This is going to be Wednesday, March 27th, after family night from 8 to 9. I hope you make it. I hope to see you there. Bye.
Hey, guys. I'm Tasia. I'm part of the prayer team. On Thursday, March 28th, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., we are going to be hosting a live and in-person prayer chain here at the church. From hour to hour, we want to be connecting from person to person so that there's no moment spared left open. That chain needs to be linked together. We need your help to cover these 12 hours in prayer by committing to just one hour, or as many as you feel led to press in while you're here. You can find signups at the back table, at the back of the church. You can look for one of us to help guide you there as well. We really need you to help bring our chain together, to just saturate this atmosphere in prayer. Bring heaven down to earth. I'm ready to see a move. Are you?
This is Trisha. I'm part of the prayer team also. We would like to invite you to join us on Friday, March the 29th, for a night of prayer and praise. We are calling this night Had They Known, because had the leaders of the world known at that time, they would have never crucified the King of Glory. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts, strong and mighty. He is the King of Glory. Again, join us Friday night, March the 29th, from 7 to 8:30. We'll see you then.
Hi, I'm Natalie, and I'm with the prayer team. To end our Holy Week, we're going to be meeting out here on Saturday, March 30th from 9 to 11. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have live worship and prayer. Come on out and join us as we celebrate the Lord together. We really hope to see you there.
Hey guys, it's me again. Now you've heard from the prayer team and all the events that we are going to be having during our Holy Week. So just to recap, Tuesday we're going to have our corporate fast. Don't forget to sign up. Wednesday, we are going to have one more hour with Him. Thursday, we are going to have our live prayer chain. Again, don't forget to sign up for that. And on Friday, we are going to have our Had They Known praise and worship night. And then Saturday morning, 9 to 11, we are going to have praise and worship. We hope to see you there.
Praise the Lord, church. How many knows that prayer changes things? Prayer changes things. Amen. So I want to encourage you to get involved in with the prayer that's going on this week. I believe God is going to continue to do great things. A couple of scriptures I want to read this morning. Psalm 73, starting in, I might just read verse 28, says, "But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things that you do. I want to encourage you this week, when we have things that come at us from every direction, it doesn't matter what it is, I wanted to encourage you to make the Lord your shelter, because God will be your shelter if you allow him to be. He has all the provision that you need to get through the circumstance that you're in right now. Amen? So when you have things coming at you, I want to encourage you to come under the shelter, the covering of Jesus Christ, because he will be your protector. He will be your provider. He will give you the words to speak. He will help you close your mouth when you need to close it. He will help you open your mouth when you need to open it. Amen? Amen. So I want to encourage you, make the Lord your shelter this week and tell everyone about the wonderful things that God has done in your life, because we overcome by two things, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen? So share with someone this week what God has done in your life. Amen? Amen. So if you would stand with me this morning, I would like to pray over our tithes and offerings. Heavenly Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. God, and we just give you thanks for this day. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and lives. We just pray that you would bless these tithes and offerings and use them to further your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
May you know that God wants and deserves all the glory that we can give him. It's not just about clapping your hands and singing. He wants all of you. And so today, let's come and give him everything. Everything that we can have and everything that we have to give.
I just need to glorify your name. I just need to glorify right now. I glorify your name. Oh, you got the sweetest name I know. I'll tell it wherever I go. I just need to glorify your name. Now I came to glorify, I glorify your name.
Oh, Jesus.
I just came to glorify, glorify your name. Oh, thank you.
to the Lord. He's so worthy.
Thank you. Just for a moment here before we move on in this service, can you just declare His holiness? Come on, with your mouth, put your voice behind it. Say, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. See, we're joining the heavens when we declare His holiness. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. At the throne of God, there are created beings who constantly declare His holiness. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. We see you high and lifted up. We see your glory filling this house. Holy are you, Lord. Holy are you, Lord. Come on. Give Him some praise, church. He deserves it. He's worthy of it. Holy, 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 holy are you, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. We honor you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Holy, 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 holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worthy are you, Lord Jesus. Holy are you, Lord Jesus. Worthy are you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're worthy, Lord Jesus. You're worthy, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Today's Palm Sunday. Today is the day that we celebrate the triumphant entry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into the great city of Jerusalem. I want to read a scripture to you, and we're going to do something here that I feel impressed on by the Holy Spirit that we need to do this morning. I felt this since early this morning before I even got here, and I was in prayer here in the building, and it just won't leave me. And we were doing group prayer and it wouldn't leave me. I prayed it then. We're going to come together and pray and do this because the Holy Spirit wants to do a work in our lives as we reflect, remember, and celebrate. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth in his second or third letter, we only have two in the canon of Scripture, but there's a reference to a third letter, and we're not sure where this one falls into alignment, but I want to read this to you because I think it's a powerful word, especially for today, as we pause for a moment and just remember what today is all about. He says, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession." King James says, "who always causes us to triumph." And then it says this, "and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere." Hallelujah. So let's connect the two dots, shall we, this morning? Jesus' triumphant entry into the city caused a stirring in the followers to the point where they would take off their coats and lay them on the ground, and they started pulling down leaves and branches. That's why we call it Palm Sunday, because there's a lot of palm trees over there. They begin to pull the palm leaves off of the trees and lay them down. And they were celebrating the triumph that Jesus was about to do. But because their focus was on one area and one area alone, they missed the greater triumph that God was doing. They thought he was just coming to take the city. No. Jesus was coming to take the world. Not the physical world, but the world of people. And in the heart of people, he conquered the soul that day. And in doing so, he conquered our lives that day. Now get this. Because of the work he did, get this picture. I was reading in Matthew this morning, and Matthew quotes the prophet from the Old Testament that prophesied. I believe it was Zechariah, but I could be mistaken. Sometimes my memory fails me on which prophet said what. But he said, "Your king has come riding a donkey." And I like how the prophet said it. A beast of burden. Not some majestic steed, a stallion, a horse that is beautiful, a donkey that you use to carry all of your load. You don't ride that because you don't look as good on the donkey as you do on the stallion. We would rather pull up and step out of the Cadillac than the Kia. Now, Kias look pretty good nowadays. Or how about our 1985 Toyota that's still running? Grandpa, when he first came up here, pastor, and he had a door that he had to tie shut with a rope. A beast of burden. Why? Why would the king come? Why would he step in to our lives, infiltrate the scene himself, God Almighty becoming human? And why would he then pick a donkey to ride? Why a beast of burden? Because Jesus became our burden. So that when he went to the cross, he could put our burdens, our cares, our sorrows, our frustrations, our hurts, our angers, so he could put all of that to death for us, so that through him we might have everlasting life. You see, the next time he comes, he's going to be riding a horse. Anybody else read Revelation? But this time he came riding a donkey. Why? Because he became our burden. And it took a beast of burden to carry him into the city. But it was his triumphant entry. Why? It wasn't that he was going to be triumphant and he himself would overtake the city and then from there establish his kingdom and rule and reign the world. No, he was coming as a servant to serve us and to bear our burden for us, so that when we walk in his procession, he always causes us to triumph. And everywhere we go, the Apostle Paul's telling us, we spread the fragrance of the knowledge of him. What does that mean? Well, I don't know about you, Pastor Darius, but I came in here this morning wearing the fragrance of triumph. That's the cologne that we wear this morning. Triumph. Yes. Why? Because Jesus bore our burden. When everyone else said it was over, brother,
when everyone else wrote you off, God said, oh, no, no, no. I'll always cause you to triumph because that's what you wear. See, why are you doing all this morning, Pastor? Because we're getting ready to go in prayer. But I don't want you doing some measly old little prayer like, oh, Lord Jesus, help us now. No, no, no. We're going to go to battle this morning. And you're going to take the burdens that you came in with. And you're going to give them to the Lord. Because you see, His work is ongoing. The work that He did at the cross has not stopped today. He did it once for everyone, but it's perpetual. Why? Because the Word of God is perpetual. It goes on and on and on. It lasts forever. So even though His work is finished, it goes on and keeps working. So if He bore the burden that day and became the burden that day, then today He wants to carry your burden for you. And I'm stirring up your faith this morning. So that when you get past this burden that you're carrying right now, we can give God the praise He deserves. Because this is Palm Sunday. And our King has showed up in our lives. Our King has bore our burden. Our King took our sin and disgrace and put it to death and gave us new life. So this is what we're going to do. I want you, if you're bold enough and willing, I want you to step out in the aisle, come forward. If you're carrying a burden this morning, I want you to step out and I want you to bring your burden to the Lord. I want you to bring it to Him. Come on, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. God's going to hear our prayers and God's going to answer our prayers. God's going to move on our requests because He says so. But we're going to give Him more than just the request. We're going to give Him our life this morning. We're going to give ourselves to Him this morning. We're all bearing something different. And here's what's amazing about God. God knows what we are bearing. He knows what we are carrying right now. He knows better than we know ourselves. Come on, people, make room. People are still coming. Make room. Push forward here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we come before You right now. And we lift our burdens up to You. For some of us, they almost seem so heavy we can't even carry it. They almost seem like they're the heaviest thing we've ever faced. For other of us, it's a pile of burdens that have consistently piled upon us. But we have read and heard Your word this morning. That thanks be to You, Jesus, who always causes us to triumph. That we walk in Your triumphal procession. And as we celebrate Your triumphant entry, not only into the city of Jerusalem, but into our hearts, You entered my life, God. You came to me. And You gave me victory and triumph over everything. God, You're not stopping now, but You're still going to cause me to triumph. And so I give You these burdens and place them on the beast of burden to be carried for me. For that is what Your desire is, God. This is Your word, not mine. Come on, give Him the burden right now. If you got to declare it, declare what it is. And just hand it over to God right now. We give You these things that are holding us back. We lay aside the weights that try to beset or slow down our walk with You. We lay it onto You, God. And we roll it over to You right now. This is our Gilgal moment, Lord. This is our Gilgal moment. We roll it over onto You. Every burden we carry, every burden we share, we give it to You right now, Jesus. Now I thank You, God, that in return we receive comfort, we receive Your peace, we receive Your joy. We receive your strength, and we are receiving your love, God. You're wrapping us up in your arms, and you're loving us right now, Lord Jesus. Don't let us miss this moment because we're so focused on something else, but let us see you in all your glory. For you're holy. You're holy. You're holy. You're holy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're holy. You're holy. You're holy. You're worthy. You're worthy. You're worthy, Lord. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing it to him. Hallelujah. For Lord God Almighty.
Worthy is our Lord. yourself, put your own word in there. What has he done for you? Is he faithful to you? Faithful is the Lamb. Is he righteous to you? Righteous is the Lamb. Put your words in it. Make it your song. Holy is the Lamb. Has it been your victory? Victorious is the Lamb. Make it your song.
Lift your hands up high. Lift your hands up high. We're celebrating. We're celebrating the triumphant entry of our King. He's entering our situation right now. He's entering our situation right now. The thing that's been concerning you, the thing that's been so hard, it's the triumphal entry of your King. He's entering your situation right now. Yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, worship him, praise him for it. Thank you, God, right now. Thank you, God, right now for your peace. Hallelujah.
Here we are, standing in your presence. Here we are, standing in your presence. Shekinah glory come down. Shekinah glory come down. Here we are, standing in your presence. Here we are, standing in your presence. Shekinah glory. Release the fullness of your Spirit. Shekinah glory come. Shekinah glory come. Release the fullness of your Spirit. Shekinah glory.
Release.
Release the fullness of your Spirit. Shekinah glory come. Shekinah glory come. Release the fullness of your Spirit. Shekinah glory come. Shekinah glory come.
This is what I want you to do when people approach you. Say, man, you smell good. What are you wearing? Tell them, triumph. Triumph. I got it from my Father. He gave it to me through his precious Son, Jesus. He always causes us to follow him in his triumphal procession. Church, we needed this reminder today that no matter what we're facing, no matter what's going on, even sometimes when we've made a mess ourselves, our triumphant King comes, steps in to our mess, and causes us to triumph. Hallelujah. That's the gospel, or the good news of Jesus Christ. And for that, he's worthy of our praise, isn't he? He's worthy to be praised. I mean, of all days, this is the day where Jesus said if you didn't praise him, the rocks would cry out for him. I'm not going to let no rock cry out for me. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. You're holy, Lord. You're holy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Come on, don't stop. Don't stop. Don't rush this moment. God's doing something in your life. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We want more. We want more. You move. We want more. More of the fullness. You move. We want more. You speak. We want more. You move. We want more. More of the fullness. You move. We want more, you speak. We want more, you move. We want more, more of the fullness. Release the fullness of your spirit. Shekinah glory come. Shekinah glory come. Release the fullness of your spirit. Shekinah glory come. Shekinah glory come. Hallelujah. We give you glory. We give you praise. And the church said amen, which means so be it. Let it be so. Our God has taken our burdens, put them upon himself. And guess what? He is the Lord God Almighty. He can handle it. We can't. And I'm going to tell you, if you think you can, you've been lying to yourself. You can't. But he can. How many of you serve the God of can? He can, right? He can do it. And he enables us to do it when we give it to him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is so wonderful to be with you in the presence of God this day, on this day of celebration, isn't it? You see, this is why we do this. Yeah, look, we know that we can be in the presence of the Lord ourselves. But God instructed us through his word that we should assemble ourselves together so that we can build each other up in our faith, that we can exhort each other in the word of God, remind. That's how you build each other up in their faith. What I did this morning is just reminded you what the Bible says about your situation. And then that brings comfort. Brings comfort. And we know, hey, man, I'm whole. I'm whole. I'm well. I'm good. Because of what Jesus has done for me. We come together so that the Spirit of God can move from person to person to person to person. And encouragement can come into our life. We start out by singing songs to get our hearts and minds focused upon Jesus Christ. And then we come to the house of prayer for all nations and we talk to our God. Amen. And we're going to have the word this morning. We're still going to have more of the word this morning. We've been giving you the word through song and through exhortation. But you have to understand it's important we come together for moments like this. And especially on holy days like Palm Sunday, let us celebrate. Let us celebrate what Jesus has done. Come on, can you celebrate? Have you forgotten how to celebrate? Hallelujah. God is so good, isn't he? He's so good. He loves us so much. I know there's still some people worshiping and praying. Take your liberty and freedom. But if you're done, you can find your seat. I'm not going to rush anybody. And you need to know this, church, that these benches that we call the altar, it's just actually a place for you to come. They're always open, though. They're open. You don't ever have to be invited. Now, we do make invitations, but you don't have to be invited. They're always open. We want people to come and worship the Lord freely in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Before we dismiss our students this morning, I do want to reiterate a few things and put you in remembrance or remind you of some things that are taking place this week. This is a special week. And I know that some people say, well, why is this day any different than any other day? Because God ordained it to be. God set festivals in place, not so that man would serve the festival, but he put festivals in place for humanity. Because he knew that every once in a while we needed to take a break and we needed to celebrate what God has done, is doing, and will do. Amen. And we have moved into a season of celebration. It's a festive season. It's a festival. And today marks the beginning of that, Palm Sunday. So when we celebrate Jesus. Now, we don't have anything going on tomorrow. We're giving you a break, okay? Because we know that Sunday's a busy day. We have Steadfast going on after this. 3 o'clock, we have our Hispanic service, which God's been doing amazing things. People getting saved, people getting healed in our Hispanic service. Praise the Lord. Come on. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago the young man came running to the altar? 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, a young man, after Pastor Darius concluded his message and gave an invitation to receive Jesus, this young man comes running. I love it. Running to the altar. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. So that's at 3 o'clock today. If you can make time, do that. But Monday, we're going to give you off because we have a busy day today. But then Tuesday. Tuesday is a day of consecration, sanctification, to prepare ourselves as we begin to journey through this week towards Easter Sunday. It's a time to set ourselves apart. And so we're asking you to take some moment of that day. Now, we're not going to be here. It's wherever you're at, whatever you're doing. Go to your jobs, work, go to school, young people. Do everything that you normally do, but we're asking you to make a sacrifice as we remember the sacrifice Jesus made for us, and to consecrate ourselves unto God and to not eat something. Now, if you can do a meal, then do a meal. If you can do from 6 a.m. to 12 p.m., then do that and sign up for it. You know why we do that? So that we know that you have made a commitment, and there's something about you writing your name down and saying yes, that it holds you to it. Because good intentions are just good intentions. I don't know about you, but I've planned to fast before. And if I just plan to fast, I never fast. But if I make a commitment that I'm going to fast, then I fast. So that's why we're asking you to write it down. Write down time frame. You can do it from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Or you can even do a 24-hour fast. Whatever God's asking you to do. Maybe some of you are being challenged right now to start your fast tomorrow. Whatever God's speaking to you, just do that. But we as a church are going to come together corporately and we're going to fast. And while you fast, pray. Because if you don't pray while you're fasting, you're just starving yourself. Man, y'all, just like stoic today. You can smile at me, right? But it's the truth. If you just fast and you don't pray, you're just starving yourself. You've missed the point. The point is to take that moment of time when you would be eating to spend some time with God. All right? So that's Tuesday. We're going to do that. Everybody going to get involved in that? Come on. It's important.
This is not just something the prayer team's doing. This is something the church is doing. And the church said, amen. Right? Then Wednesday night, I'm excited about this. We're calling it One More Hour with Him. We come together on Wednesday nights for family nights, what we call. And I want our youth ministries, teen ministries, everybody to be prepared for this. Now look, if your classes go long, if your service goes long, teen pastors, and God's moving, awesome. Stay there. Have church, right? But if you guys are done, don't dismiss these kids like they can go home. Dismiss them to come and pray. And the adults said, amen. Because we need our kids to pray, right? We're going to come and spend one more hour with Jesus. When they said that, I loved it because it just echoed in my mind the scriptures. Jesus looked at his followers, his disciples, at the moment that they were going to come take him to crucify him. And he says to them, could you not pray and watch with me for just 1 hour? Just 1 hour. So that's Wednesday night. Make plans. Then Thursday, Maundy Thursday. Everybody say Maundy Thursday. Maybe some of you, that's the first time you've ever heard that. That's what Thursday is called on Holy Week. It's called Maundy Thursday. It's the day that we recognize and remember the fact that Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. He came as a servant, and we're going to come on Thursday night. And this is for the whole church. That's why there's no sign-up sheet for it, right? Is that Thursday? No, that's Friday. Sorry. Thursday is the prayer. That's right. I almost skipped it. So Thursday is going to be 12-hour prayer chain. Why are we calling it chain? Because we're linking together. So we're asking you, I think I looked this morning, there were 4 more spots open to make sure we had the chain linked. That means there's a missing link in our chain, and that's you if your name's not on the paper. Somebody say, oh, amen or oh me. Now, there can be more than just one person here praying. Yes. So if the time slot is filled already, then come and join the person who's already committed to that. But we want to make sure that every time slot's filled. So make sure you write your name down so that we have that covered, all right? That's on Maundy Thursday when Jesus served his disciples the Lord's Supper and he washed their feet. We're coming together and we're just asking for 1 hour. Now, some of you already know you're stirred. You're stirred in your spirit. You're like, okay, I'm going to be here, Pastor, but it's going to take me more than an hour. That's cool. Stay here as long as you want. All right? So from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., this church is going to be open for prayer. Then on Good Friday, everybody say Good Friday, we are going to come and celebrate. Now listen, this is not a funeral service. Okay, Jesus did die, but he's alive. Are you alive this morning? Okay, this is not a funeral service. An hour and a half? That's the time frame, hour and a half. Good Friday evening. We're going to come together, and we're going to worship the Lord together. We're going to pray together. We're going to see God move as we prepare our hearts. And then Holy Saturday, everybody say Holy Saturday. It's the day of rest. We're asking you to come for 2 hours in the morning, starting at 10 o'clock. Huh? 9 o'clock. You come at 10 o'clock, you only get to be here for an hour. Come at 9 to 11, right? I'm terrible at times. That's why they don't have me make these announcements. But I wanted to stress the importance of this. This is not a prayer team thing. Your prayer team set this up for you. And you need it. Everybody say, I need it. Can you imagine if we would really get in one mind and one accord? Y'all remember what happens when the church does that? What happens when the church gets in one mind and one accord? Fire comes. The wind blows, right? Think about what Easter Sunday is going to be like. If we do this the way we're supposed to do it, the plan that God's given us. So Saturday morning here for prayer, and then Sunday sunrise service at 7, 10 o'clock service, 3 o'clock Hispanic service,
God is going to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, because He already has. There's going to be a stirring. And wouldn't it be amazing that we celebrate Easter Sunday because a whole bunch of people got saved that day? That's my heart's cry. That people wake up on Easter and they go, you know, it's been a while since I've been to church. I should attend church. Where should I go? And they think a thought just pops in their head. Oh, I should go to that Lighthouse church, when really it's God speaking to them. Why would God do that? Because we have prepared ourselves. Now, if we're not ready, God ain't going to send them here. Smile at me. Are you all awake? Okay. You receiving this? I'm going to have to just keep going if you don't. And Pastor Alicia is preaching this morning, her full message. So if we're here till 3 o'clock when Hispanic service starts, so be it. We got to get this in our hearts. We got to get this. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. It's for your community. And what did God tell us to do this year? Build a faith community. This is how you do it. It starts with prayer. And if you ain't praying, listen, you can't count on me to do your praying for you. Because you know what I do? I say, God, you see these crazy people. They need you. And I'm giving them to you right now. Here you go. They're your people. That's what I do. Because sometimes I don't know what to pray. And I know your situations are rough. I know your situations are hard. But if you begin to prepare your heart, your mind, your soul, God will meet us here in such a powerful manifestation that it will blow us away. How many of you want that for Easter Sunday? A real resurrection Sunday. Amen? All right. All right. We're going to dismiss our teens to go to teen class. We have Firehouse Kids this morning. For ages 7 to 12, our preschool, 3 to 6-year-olds, and our nursery. You can take your children there. You're welcome to do that. Come back in here for the word. How many of you just thank for the presence of God that you've already felt in this place? Now, God's not done. God's not done. God's going to speak some things to us right now. And it's going to do something in us. And I believe that we're going to have... See, this wasn't so much an altar call as it was us just bringing our burden to the Lord. But there's going to be a response to the word this morning that's going to be an altar call, for us to come to the altar. And since we got our burdens out of the way, everybody say, it's gone. Now God can speak to us so we can receive His word, what He wants to say. Everybody say, amen.
Amen.
Let it be so, right? We're going to receive the word of God this morning, and God's going to do something great in our lives. Pastor Alicia, won't you come? Can you give her a hand as she comes and minister the gospel?
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I love when God just has His way. And there are times we have our plan, we have what we think the Lord wants us to do, but He is welcome to interrupt at any moment, and that shouldn't just be in a church building, guys. You have to give Him permission in your life to interrupt and say, God, I have this planned. I was going to do this. I was going to go here. But if you tell me to go somewhere else, I'm going to follow. Amen? That is the church we need to be, a church that follows. We're not leading. We're following. And so we've been doing this series on wholeness. How many of you have enjoyed this series? I've learned a lot, and I've appreciated when you're studying for a message, you learn a lot. And so I'm probably getting it more than all of you are, but it's been good. So just to recap, the first week, Pastor Joe just covered wholeness overall, and he talked about how Jesus doesn't just heal one issue in your body. He heals your whole life. When you give Him room, He will transform who you are. Body, soul, and spirit. He wants to transform every part of that. The second week, I talked about wholeness in your body. And what God really led me, because there's so many ways you can go with that, but what God really led me to focus on is who owns your body. If you've given it to God, He's responsible. You don't have to worry about it. If you've truly surrendered your body, yourself, to God, then He's got you. And we don't have to worry, we just have to obey. Everyone say obey. Isn't that a fun word? But that's what God needs us to do. And then last week, Pastor Joe brought the message about wholeness of our soul. And he did a great job focusing on the scripture, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he really dug into those words to show us what that means. And if we love God with everything we have in our inner man, our outer man will follow. Did you know, as pastors, we can usually look in your life and tell where you're at with the Lord? Because your outer man shows what's going on in your inner man. And not just us, people around you can tell. I heard someone say one time that if they miss a day with the Lord, they could tell. The second day, their spouse could tell. And the third day, the whole world could tell. Maybe, you know, I need time with my Lord. You wouldn't like me if it weren't for the Lord. Because man in themselves is selfish and greedy, and we want what we want. But for the Lord, He can transform that and change us and bring us wholeness. And so today we're going to talk about wholeness in our spirit. And if you look at this visual that we've had up here every week, you will notice there's an arrow going between body and soul, and there's an arrow going between spirit and soul. But there is no arrow between body and spirit. Why is that? Because they are enemies. They don't get along. So if your physical body, if your physical man, your fleshly man is strong, your spirit man is weak. They don't complement each other. They don't flow together. They're going to be opposites. Whereas what God wants, if your spirit man is strong, that flesh, that human nature, is going to be really weak. And that's where God needs us to go, to that place. Now, if you'll notice, as my spirit man pours into my soul, then my soul gets strong and healthy, which in turn encourages my spirit. Isn't that interesting how that works out? It's kind of like a nice little cycle. But the opposite is also true. If my flesh is controlling, it affects my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions in a negative way. Have you ever felt like your emotions were out of control, anybody? That means your flesh was controlling. Your flesh was impacting your soul, which causes your soul to be crazy, which again impacts your fleshly man to be more powerful and say, yep, I'm in control. I'm just going to do things my way. I don't care. No one can tell me anything. That's your flesh. And again, it creates a cycle. So the key to it all is letting our spirit be strong. And so I preached this at the women's, not this, but I preached at the women's conference about the soul. And we have some magnets, so I put those out if anybody wants them. And I have some at the welcome desk and at the desk in the foyer going outside. And it just says, soul care. But how do you care for your soul? You let your spirit lead. And so soul care, let the spirit lead. So if you want to grab those, you can grab a handful if you want and pass them out and teach people that, hey, if your life is a mess, this is what you need to do. You need to learn to let the Spirit of God be strong in your life, and then your soul is going to be healthy, which in turn will allow your body, your physical body, to be healthy. So we're going to dive into this about wholeness in our spirit. I do want to say this is different from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's a completely different topic. We're not even going there today. We don't have time to cover both. But this is the Spirit that God placed within you when you were born, before you were born, when you were in your mother's womb. He gave you a spirit, He gave you a soul, He gave you a body. Those three things. And so whether you're serving Christ or not, you have a spirit that is within you. The question is, what is the condition of that spirit? And that's what makes the difference. So in this image here, you see the spirit. And this is, again, part of our inner person. We can't see it. So sometimes we're confused by it because we can't see it. It is not physiological, which was our body. It is not psychological, which is our mind. It is supernatural. You can't even explain it. God gave it to us, and it's going back to God someday. We don't even know how or why. It's just the way God made it. It's supernatural. As I was looking up this information, they also use the word ecclesiastical. Everyone say that, ecclesiastical. We heard that word several weeks ago in Wednesday Bible study from ekklesia. Ekklesia, which is the Greek word talking about what the church is and what God wanted the church to be, which alludes to we are called out, we're different, and it's a type of government God wanted to establish. So isn't that interesting when we're talking about the Spirit within us? He's using another word that talks about the government within us. So if you think about a government, let's think about America's government, and this may not be a great example. But there's somebody that has authority, correct? And then there's other parts that work with that authority. And in our government, when everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing, I know we don't always see that, but things go well, correct? Some of you who are older than me, have you ever seen that happen in this country? I haven't seen it much. But if everyone's doing their part, things work well. And the same in our body. When we allow our spirit to be that ecclesia within us, not just the church at large, but within us individually. When that ecclesia, we are called out from who this natural man was, and we give our spirit authority, then the soul and the flesh have to fall under and subject to that authority. That is the way God created it. That's the form he wants us to follow. So our spirit is our God consciousness. It's our intuition or the conscience that we have within us. This is how we relate to God. This is our connection, our relationship. So this is why it makes sense for people whose spirits are dead within them. They have no idea who God is. Have you heard people say, I don't know if God exists. I don't know if God's real. You know, when I was a teenager, I used to say that. I want to believe, but I don't know. But as I continue to let my spirit grow, I can say today I'm 100% sure there's a God. I'm connected in relationship with him. And you can't tell me anything different. I'm not going to back down to say, well, maybe there's a God, maybe there is. No, there is a God. There is a God because I walk with him. And that's how I know. And it's only because my spirit has connected me to his. So if you're not at that place yet, don't give up. Because as your spirit grows, it continues to build that relationship. And so we're going to talk about that today. In the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, the word spirit is defined as the immaterial intelligent, meaning are not physical intelligent, or sentient part of a person. I had no idea what that word meant. I don't think I've ever heard that word in my life, but it makes so much sense. Everyone say sentient. Sentient. I think we have it up here so you can even see what it looks like, sentient. So our spirit is our sentient part of a person. What that means is the way you perceive, the way you sense things, and the way you feel things. Not with your physical hands, but within you, the way you feel something. And as I read that, it made so much sense because I've heard people say, I don't know when God's talking to me. That's the spirit within us that knows. And if your spirit's not alive and moving and working and growing and getting stronger, you're not gonna know. Because it's a sense, it's a feeling, it's an impression that you only get when your spirit is getting strong within you. And so here's the thing, if God speaks in an audible voice, our flesh can hear it, right? That's easy. I can hear it with my ears. He doesn't do that very often. Because he doesn't want us to rely on our flesh. And I was reading this was like a big revelation for me. I'm like, this makes a lot more sense. How many of you want God just to speak out loud? Raise your hand if you've ever said, God, just speak to me out loud. Give me a word. We want that because it's easy. Because then we don't have to depend on our spirit. We can depend on ourselves. And what he's saying is your spirit within you can perceive what he's doing if you let it. And that's powerful, guys.
That's what connects us to what God is doing in this world. If we can understand and sense, if we can hear, not with our physical ears, but with our inner man, our spirit, if we can hear what he's doing, we can get in alignment. We can follow. We can go where he's going, but if we're not listening with our spirit, we will 100% miss it every time. And so I want to go quickly into the history of what we're talking about. And let's start in Romans chapter 5. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. If you have your Bible app, go ahead and pull that up. And again, I really encourage you, I guess God's laid this on my heart the last few months, about taking notes. I think we are responsible for the word God gives us. And this is a word for the Lighthouse. This is a word for this church. And so if you feel called to the Lighthouse, you're responsible for the word that you get. I encourage you to take notes, and over the week, look it over again. Because I guarantee you're not going to get it all the first time. And you'll forget most of it as you walk out the door. But if you take notes, you're going to have it. So Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 15. There is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of one man, Adam, brought death. And here's what we usually think. We think, well, our bodies weren't going to die. And then Adam sinned, and now our bodies are dying. It brought death. And that's part of it. But the bigger part of it is it brought death to our spirit. That part that connected Adam and Eve to God in the garden, where they could walk in relationship with him, it died. Sin cut it off because God cannot tolerate sin. He cannot be around sin. And so our spirit man died. It brought death to many, which is actually everyone that was ever born after that. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And for the result of God's gracious gift, and the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation. In that moment, humanity was condemned. We were disapproved of by God. We brought punishment in that moment. Not just for Adam and Eve, but everyone that came from their lineage. Raise your hand if you came from the lineage of Adam and Eve. Some of you didn't. Do you believe the Big Bang Theory? Where did you come from? I think we all came from Adam and Eve. Therefore, we came from that condemnation and that sin nature. And when you were born, your spirit man was not alive because of an Adam and Eve's choice. But God didn't like that, because he created humans to be in relationship. So, it says God's free gift leads to us being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. And that phrase, being made right with God, some translations call it justification. Just as if I'd never sinned. So all the things that happened in my past in that moment that I received God's free gift, it's just as if I was back to the beginning where he started with me. Where he wanted to start, with my spirit being made alive, my soul following my spirit, my flesh being obedient to God. That's where it starts when we accept Christ. All the other stuff is done. And we get this new life that God initially wanted us all to have. Every single person. And it's such a great gift. If you look back just a few verses, same chapter, chapter 5, but verse 11 says, so now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God. It's brand new. We'd never seen it before. We'd never been able to hear him the way we can hear him after we receive that gift. Because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends. And church, I think we take that for granted. If I ask you who your best friend is, think about what you would say. I probably would say my spouse. And not even think too much about it. But if you are a Christian, really your best friend is Jesus Christ. And we shouldn't take that for granted, because he didn't have to do it. But he did. He offered that relationship back. Some translations use that phrase and they say atonement, which means reconciliation. You were a part and now I've reconciled you back together. That's what Jesus' gift does, and it's amazing. I also want to look at Ephesians chapter 2, just again to talk about some of this history of how we got to where we are now. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 says that even though you were dead, again, your spirit man was dead, your flesh was still alive, your spirit was dead because of your sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. In verse 10, if you skip down to that, we are God's masterpiece. He has created. Is that future tense, everybody, or past tense? Do we have any English teachers in here? Two of you knew it was past tense. He already did it. It's already done. It's just waiting for us to receive it. He created us anew. It doesn't mean he just fixed the part that was broken. He didn't just throw on some paint. That's the way I kind of fix things. I'm not going to strip it down and make it all nice. I'm just going to make it better. My husband will tell you that. I'll say, it's better than it was. Aren't you glad God didn't do that to us? Say, oh, let me just fix one little area of your life. Well, you're better than you were. No, anew, brand new. This word actually goes back to and relates to when God was talking about the world and how it was formless. There was no form to it. And that's how we were. We are in our sin, we're formless. It's a mess. And it says he spoke and created. And that's what he did in it. He created something brand new. So if you have generational curses, guess what? Not anymore. That old person used to, but I'm new. So they are no longer a part of who I am. If you had old habits that maybe you learned growing up, and my daughter just told me yesterday, Mom, I've done this for 9 years. It's not easy to change. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You let God recreate it. Then it's no longer your habit. If you're new, that's not who you are anymore. And what happens is we go back to our flesh. We have this brand new thing God put inside of us and says, let this lead. Let this take control. And we're like, I'm used to doing it this way. I'll just go back and do it this way. No. That's not who you are anymore. God wants our spirit to lead. And why? It goes on to say, he's created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And this right here is kind of my life sermon about you have a purpose. I feel like a lot of times when I preach, when I talk to people, whatever, I'm always like, you have a purpose. Every single person, God created you for something. It's not just to go through life and make it to the end. You have a work to do. But what he's saying, you have to be made new so you can do the work he actually created you to do at the very beginning. When you were in your mother's womb, he had a plan for your life. When you were born in the condition of sin, you will never fulfill that plan. Never. But he made a way and said, let me make you new. Let me get rid of this past sin that you were born into so you can walk in a relationship with me again and you can do everything I actually created you to do. I don't know if anyone else is excited about that, but God created a purpose for me. And my purpose is not any more important than your purpose. Every person I'm looking at, you have a purpose. A God-given purpose. And sometimes we get way off track. And we get into thinking this is our purpose, and the whole time God's saying, no, that's not what I created you for. You might be having a good time with that, but that's not what I created you for. This is so much better. So we need to get right with God. We need to let our spirit be whole so we can do what God actually made us to do. And the last verse I want to talk about, just referring to the history of all of this, is in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, starting in verse 3, this is Nicodemus, who was a religious person. How many of you know religious people are dead in their sins? They have to be reborn and get a relationship, not traditions, not making up their own laws, which is what the Pharisees did. So Nicodemus came to Jesus because he saw all this stuff. And Jesus tells him, and he's like, man, you're a great teacher, and we saw the miracles. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Here's the thing. He's not just talking about heaven. He's not just saying you won't make it to heaven. He's saying right here on earth, there's a kingdom of God. You're not even going to be able to see it. You're not even going to know what's happening right next to you in the spiritual world because you're dead. You have to be made new, reborn. And then suddenly you're going to have this awareness of what's really going on. If you're looking at the government and thinking things are a mess, there's something way deeper going on. You're missing it. Because God's kingdom is now. God is at work in this earth now, not just in America. All over the world, he's doing things. But he says, you're not even going to see the kingdom of God until you're made reborn. If you skip to verse 5, Jesus said, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God. Even this man who thought he was religious, who thought he was doing all the right things. But nope, no one can enter without being born of water and the Spirit. But listen to this next line. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So what he's saying, you were born of water when you were born on this earth, right? I gave birth to 3 kids. I had water break, right? That's how they come to this earth, through water. Guess what? Even though I am a Christian, and even though their dad was a Christian, they were not spiritually alive. They were born of water. But humans can only produce humans. That's it. And even though we had received this new birth in our spirit, we couldn't pass that on to them. So you may have had the greatest heritage ever. Doesn't matter. You need the rebirth experience. And isn't it great news that it means if you didn't have the greatest upbringing ever, you're on the same playing field. Because you need the rebirth experience. We were all born of water. Thank God that's why we're here. But you cannot see the kingdom of God until you're born of the Spirit. That's what we need, all of us. So that's the history of where we are, and let's look at what happens, a healthy human spirit versus that dead or dormant spirit that is inactive within us, because you all already have the Spirit. It's already in you. God has given you the Spirit. It's there. But the question is it healthy? Or is it lying dormant? And we can look outside and see some trees that are dormant. How good do those look? They're not producing anything, are they? I don't ever see any fruit in the wintertime when things are dormant. In fact, they look dead. And if I wasn't smarter, I would go take an axe and come down and think, oh, they're done. But we know they come back to life, right? And what God does in us is just as beautiful. It's the same thing. We're coming into that spring season. We're going to start to see those buds come back on. Those leaves come back on. And you're going to see that new life. And that is what God wants to give us, a new life. But it doesn't have to end every season. Some of us do. Let me just be real blunt with you. Some of us go through the seasonal cycle with the weather. It's like, oh, I'm just going to let my spirit man die again because I'm frustrated, because life is hard, because whatever, fill in the blank. My flesh gets strong again, and I go back to my old self until I get into a revival service. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is what it was supposed to be. I forgot. I get revitalized for a while, and then I go back to being unhealthy again. And it becomes a vicious cycle that God did not intend. We can keep a healthy spirit all the time. And so there are 2 things that will tell if you have a healthy spirit or not. And so I'm going to encourage you to evaluate this in yourself. 1, your ability to worship. Now I'm going to clarify. I'm not just talking about you standing up and singing a song. I'm not even talking about you just clapping your hands and jumping when there's music playing. Because that is just the very smallest part of worship. Worship is honor and respect for God. Worship is recognizing how worthy, he is. And if your spirit is not healthy in you, you can't even do that. You can't even recognize how powerful, how mighty, how gracious. You don't even see it. It doesn't even move you. But when your spirit is healthy, you're going to come to a place to say, God, you're so worthy. And it may look different. Some of you, like me, are just going to cry and sob. Some of you may scream, right, Teresa? It's the worthiness of God. My body doesn't know what to do because I'm so overwhelmed by how powerful he is. And my body has to react somehow, so I just scream. It's because he's worthy. Some of you may jump and run and shout because you recognize how worthy he is. And some of you will just sit in a silent awe. And all of those are correct. And I'm not going to judge the way that you stand in the presence of God, nor should you judge the way that I stand in the presence of God. Because we're all recognizing, God, you're a holy God. You're a worthy God. But if you think of God and don't even feel any of that, you don't even honor and respect him, then your spirit's not healthy. Because your spirit is going to connect you into that relationship. It's going to cause you to adore him. It's going to cause you to be devoted. Devotion is not hard for me. And we preach it all the time. You need to have a devotional life. But when your spirit's healthy, it's not hard. It's not saying, I got to get up and set a timer. I do set a timer just so I don't forget, but it's not grievous to me. It's not that I'm doing it just because I'm told or just because I have to. I want to be in his presence. You will be devoted to God if your spirit is healthy. You'll be wanting to spend that time with him. But when your spirit is dormant within you, you're just going through the motions and there's no change. And you can come to church every time the doors are open. And your spirit could be dead within you and there will be no change. Because coming to church does not save you. Coming to church does not make your spirit healthy. You have to allow your spirit to be healthy. You have to choose to feed and grow in that. And we can give you all of the options and all of the ways to grow, but you have to make the choice. We cannot spoon feed you. Thinking when I said, some of you want to be spoon-fed. Because God just reminded me of this. AJ was probably 4 or 5 years old. Like, he had been eating by himself for a long time. We went to great-grandma Turner's house one time because she was babysitting. We walked in and that boy was sitting on the couch. There was his cartoon on the TV that he wanted to watch. And here was Grandma Turner with a plate and a fork. And AJ would be watching the TV, bite, bite. And we walked in, we said, what are you doing? She's like, he wanted me to feed him. Do you know he's able to feed himself? But what if he would have continued to do that? He would have been a very selfish, self-centered individual who depended on everyone to do things for him instead of actually accomplishing what God wanted him to do for others. You cannot depend on other people to feed you. You have to choose to go out and get what you need. And it's not just Sunday mornings, I promise you that. Determine to go and get what you need. There are a couple scriptures I'll just hit quickly that talk about this. In John 4:24, God is a spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Not just talking about worship songs. Everything you do in your life, you are worshiping God. You're bringing glory to God. I don't want to do anything in my life. I don't want to have a thought. I don't want to say a word. I don't want to have an action. I don't want to go someplace that's going to grieve my Father. Now, do I? I'm sure I sometimes do. But that is not my intent. My intent is to live a life of worship where I recognize, God, you are so worthy that I just want to bring you glory in everything that I do. And when you get that mindset, it becomes so much easier. It's not a fight. It's not trying to make yourself do or say the right things. It just flows out of you. Worship. Worship in everything that you do. We see this in Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Mary knew she was going to have the Savior of the world inside of her. She did have the Savior of the world inside of her. And she responds, and she's talking to Elizabeth. She says, "My soul praises the Lord, how my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." When your spirit is healthy, it is rejoicing, which impacts your soul. And then your soul can then feel the right things. Those emotions can be healthy if your soul is healthy, or if your spirit is healthy. They work together, back and forth. Her soul was praising God, and her spirit was rejoicing, because she recognized she was worshiping the Lord and what he was going to do. The second and last thing I want to talk about with a healthy human spirit is you are fed by God's word. I hear a lot of people say they read the word of God and don't get anything out of it. Well, number one, maybe you're reading in the wrong spot. Maybe you're reading out of your desires of what you want to do instead of God's. But if you're letting the Spirit lead you and your spirit is healthy, when you read the Word of God, it will come alive. It will do things in you. And let me just share a couple personal examples with this. As I've shared many times about my speaking in front of public people in public, several years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, when I just kind of started doing that a little bit more, we had went to a church service in Dayton. We were invited to go, and I wasn't thinking about any of this. I wasn't thinking about preaching or speaking in front of people, and it wasn't even the person who was there to preach. It was someone who had came with him who was doing the offering, and he had an offering message that was like 20 minutes long, and so he gave several scriptures and gave stories. It was really good. But as he spoke one scripture, it just attached itself to me. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? That's the word of God being alive. That is being fed by the word. When you can hear it, and everyone else in the room could hear the same scripture and it does nothing to them in that moment, but the Holy Spirit is drawing you to that word. And it was a word out of Jeremiah 1 where it says, "Don't even be afraid of the people's faces. I'll give you the word to speak." And I have stood on that word for years. And I'll go back to that word and talk to that word, because that was God feeding me. I was being fed by his word in that moment, and that was the exact nourishment that I needed. I wasn't even looking for it, but because I went to the right place, listen to me, church. If you only go when you want to go and you're not going when you feel led to go, you're missing it. Had I not been there, I would not have heard that word that has encouraged me for years. I would have missed that. Had I said, I'm tired, I want to sit and watch Netflix tonight. Any of you ever say that? Sunday morning, but I had a busy weekend. Not get out of bed. What did you miss by not being there? When there's a revival and you feel a prompting like, maybe I should go, I won't. What did you miss? Because you didn't go. So that was one instance. Another one just happened this past week in my daily devotional. What I feel God has led me to do, and again, I said, you need to do what God leads you to do for reading the word. But for this year, I'm reading the word or the Bible through. I've done that several other times. Sometimes I just read the New Testament. You know, just whatever God leads you to do. This year, I'm reading the Bible through. In my daily Bible plan, I was reading a scripture that I've read before, and it jumped out of the page. I think it was John 1:14 or 7:14. I have it written down because I wrote it down. It was important to me. But Jesus is saying, my message is not my own. God gave me this message. And again, that was just God, the word coming alive within me. It didn't the last time I read it. But this time, the Spirit connected and said, this is for you. I'm feeding you right now. and you're growing because you're taking this in. So you will be fed by God's word when your spirit is healthy. It'll make you hungry to want more. But if your spirit is dead and dormant, the Bible will seem foolish. It won't make any sense. You won't understand it. And you'll see that in 1 Corinthians 2:14. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. So sometimes I hear people say, especially non-believers, I've tried to read the Bible, it doesn't make any sense. Yep, it's not going to. If you try to give non-believers scriptures, more than likely that's not going to be effective unless the Spirit is leading you specifically to do that because he's going to do something in it. Most of the time you're going to share scripture that you're like, this is speaking to their life, this is right where they're at, and they're going to be like, why did you send that to me? It's foolishness. They don't understand it until they let their spirit come alive within them. That's when they can understand it. And the last scripture I want to read is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. You mean papers on a page are sharp? Yeah. Yeah. They have the ability to cut you down. I've been there. They're cutting or piercing between the soul and the spirit, between joint and marrow. And what God will do is when you, let's say your soul, it's talking about the soul and the spirit, when your soul is getting soulish, when your soul is getting fleshy, and you go to reading your word, and if your spirit is healthy and alive in you, it's going to say, no, 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 that is not me. That is not right. That is not what you know to do. That is not okay. And your spirit will, the word of God will distinguish. This is of the spirit. This is of you. Knock it off. That's what it'll say. But if we're not in our word, if we're not reading, we're not even giving it an opportunity to do that. We're not being fed. And so I have a quick illustration I want to do. I asked Gary to come help me. So he's going to represent the spirit inside of me. He's going to stand right up here. And he's going to talk. He's not going to use a microphone on purpose. Because how many of you know the world can be really loud, but God is not. He will speak softly in a voice, and it's your choice if you want to hear or not. He's not going to get louder because you are being disobedient. Although that's what I do with my kids, right? Any of you? Your kids can't hear you, you just get louder? God won't. God won't do that because he won't make you. I'm going to make my kids mind. Until they're of the age where I can't make them mind anymore. Then it's on them, right? But God won't make us. He says it is 100% your choice. I've given you everything. I'm providing you. But I'm not going to make you. So Gary's going to give me some instructions as my spirit speaking within me. Thank you, Lord, that you love me. Thank you, Lord, that you love me. Yep, receive that blessing. Oh, what was that, April? You want to talk to me? You keep talking. Oh, yeah, how's everything going? I'm okay, yeah. I think I had a pretty good day. I would love to get some coffee. Can I go get some coffee? I should go get some coffee. You notice what's happening? He's still talking, but guess what I've heard in the last 2 seconds? Only this and none of this. Now, does it mean it's bad? No, we need to have relationships with other people. But the important thing is, can I still keep my ear here while I'm talking here? While I'm going to coffee, while I'm having a relationship, am I still able And this is the part where you have to train up your soul and let it be strong and healthy within you to be able to do both. And this is where we mess up. I can't hear what the Spirit's saying because I'm too busy talking and focusing on this moment, and I haven't learned how to connect to both. Now, the other thing is, sometimes he's talking, and I leave the room. Sometimes he's talking here at the lighthouse, and I didn't come to the lighthouse that day. I can't even hear what he's trying to tell me, what he's saying to me, because he was going to speak through another person. He was going to speak through the devotional that day that I chose not to do. My spirit within me was wanting me to call up a friend and have a conversation because the spirit knew that friend was going to say something I needed to hear. But I was like, they don't want to hear it from me. And I didn't do it. So I'm missing things that are happening that God is doing because I'm not hearing what the Spirit's saying. I'm not obeying what the Spirit's doing. And I'm doing my own thing. Thank you, Gary. Can we give him a hand? It takes practice. And it takes time. And we're probably not going to get it right all the time. But what I can tell you is I'm way better today than I was 20 years ago. I'm better today than I was 5 years ago. I'm learning. I'm being more sensitive. I'm letting that fun word, what was it? Sentient. Perceiving what God is doing. I'm growing in that, and I'm feeding my spirit. As I feed my spirit, it strengthens my soul. As my soul is strengthened, it's feeding the spirit. It connects and goes back and forth. And then as my flesh is crucified and not in control, it's going to do what it's supposed to do. Right? It's a beautiful thing when we get it right. So we need to let the Spirit lead. Let the Spirit lead. And you'll recognize when it's getting unhealthy, when you can't worship like you used to worship, when you're not being fed from the Word of God like you used to be fed, you'll notice something needs to change. And the beautiful thing is it can change in a moment. All you do is say, God, forgive me. I've got off track. I need you to refill me again. I need you to give me that new birth again. Let's start over again. And so today we're going to offer communion again. And at the beginning of this series, we just felt that every week we were supposed to offer communion through this series. And I think it's God's way of saying, you can't do it. No matter how bad you want to be good, to be right, to do things, to make things work the right way, no matter how much you want it, you can't do it. It is only through the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. That's it. And so as I was seeking today of how to do communion, again, I felt like God said, let everyone take time to examine themselves. And then whenever you are ready, you come and receive of it individually. Let it be time between you and God. Say, God, how is my spirit? Is there anything that you need to show me right now? Is there anything, and maybe you need to keep your Bible with you because he may give you a scripture to look at. He may give you a song. God does that to me a lot. A song will come back to my mind, and I know that's God speaking to me. I just need to think of the words. Take some time. I'm going to ask Caleb to come back to the music, and take some time with the Lord, and then when you're ready, just receive what he's already done. There's nothing you can do to earn it. You're not bad enough because you can't earn it anyway. You're not too bad to have received it because it's not about you. The question is, will you receive it? At this time, we'll just take time. You can come to the altars. You can pray at your seat. Just take some time to meet with the Father.
Over me, oh. tension in all anxiety. They have no power over me. Addiction and strongholds in every disease. They have no power over me.
Let's just sing it. I'm so thankful for what he is and all he's done.
fight till I'm found. Leaves in 99, and I couldn't hurt me. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away.
Reckless by our standards, because he wasn't guaranteed to get anything by laying down his life. He was taking a risk on humanity, because he's not going to make us, he's not going to force us, but he's given us the opportunity, and I'm so thankful for that. Heavenly Father, we love you, we adore you, we worship you, Lord, with our whole entire lives. I just pray that you help us draw closer to you and closer to one another. God, let us continue to build a faith community. God, where we are encouraging each other, where we are stirring up gifts, God, that you have placed within us so that we can be your body, we can be your church in this world. God, let us be healthy, body and soul and spirit, Lord, so that we can fulfill the things you have called us to do. I pray for each home and each family, Lord, that your spirit will lead, that we will submit to your way and not our way. God, we need you. We are desperate for you. It is the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Prayer cloths. If anyone's able to pray, please come on up front, and then everyone else is dismissed. Thank you.